Hello, 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 and welcome to the August 15th edition of the Laughing Place podcast, a special Olympic edition of the podcast. My name today is Bob Costas. I'll be your host for the next 16 days. Joining me on my right, the lovely and talented Mary Carrillo.
Mary? Oh, yeah. Who?
Isn't her name Mary Carrillo?
I don't know. I don't recognize that name.
You're right.
Oh, Maya Cross. Pretty sure her name's Mary Carrillo. If it's wrong, I'm embarrassed.
But. Oh, are you talking about the lady who eats the fried scorpions?
Yeah.
Oh, maybe that was her name.
That's her name.
I liked her.
Okay.
Fried scorpions.
On my left is the gymnastics coach, Bella.
Who you can't understand.
Not a word.
That is the funniest thing. Whenever we go anywhere, I'm the one who always has a hard time with the... Like, if our server comes up and has a really thick accent, I kind of have to look at Doobie to help me because I don't want to be really rude and have to ask a billion times for them to repeat themselves. But for whatever reason, I can understand Bella and Doobie cannot.
Bella, speak. Let me see if I can understand you.
Let's get ready to podcast. That's Arnold Schwarzenegger, by the way. it's a Bellabration.
And the final member of our team under the table today is happy because the normal final member, Fanboy.
Normal? It's a song.
The typical. The one that's normally
standard.
Here. Fanboy is not here today. He is approximately 3,000 miles away in sunny Southern California.
Maybe he'll download this and listen to it on the airplane.
That would be surreal.
Wouldn't that be funny if he listened to us on the airplane? Yeah. Hi, I hope you're enjoying
your
flight.
You know what's funny is he'll interject his part.
You know he will. No, what'll be worse is he'll laugh out loud on the plane, and people will be like, huh, what's wrong with you?
So there's no Fanboy today. He'll be back next week regaling us with stories of California. But this week...
And we also have some trip report. I got a wonderful trip report from one of our listeners, so we'll share that too. So that way we can kind of have both views of what was going on at Disneyland. So it'll be cool.
Fanboy's view and the real view. And so, sans Fanboy, today we are myself, Doobie Mosley, my lovely and talented wife, Rebecca Mosley.
Hi.
And my lovely and talented captain, Captain John.
Oh, yes, I am lovely.
Yay, Captain.
Before we get started, podcast at laughingplace.com, 866-789-4008. Let us know what's on your mind regarding anything we talk about today or anything in the world of Disney, as some of you did this week. We'll be getting to that later. But first, it's Rumor Central here on the Laughing Place podcast, because that's what we're all about at laughingplace.com, is the latest breaking news and rumors, except for the rumors part.
I know, that's a new thing. This has been a new thing for us. We've been doing it for, about a year now, where we have the latest so that we can put up rumors and speculative things, because before we were always very, you know, if we need an official word, kind of on the record type thing before we would publish it underneath anything other than the discussion boards, right?
Right, but not any longer. Now we have the... quote, we've heard, which is our euphemism for this is a rumor.
This may or may not be happening. It may have been happening, and then they changed their mind.
So we've heard a couple of things this week we're going to talk about. However, before we get to that, we're going to talk about, very briefly, something someone else heard. MySage.com is reporting, just before we actually started recording today, we heard that the head of Disney Creative Entertainment under Walt Disney Parks and Resorts, Ann Hamburger, is no longer with the company. Again, this is a rumor from MySage.com. Don't know yet if it's true or not, but there you have it. So if it is true, we'll certainly talk a lot more about that next week when Fanboy returns, about what this means for Disney, what Ann Hamburger did for Disney, and where things go from here.
Yeah, we'll wait and see where the dust settles on this one. It's still really fresh and new. And
I mean, new.
Have no idea. Yep.
Very,
sitting here
very
ready
new.
To call over the crew to start recording, and I get a phone call saying, did you see?
See those over there? They must be new.
So the other rumors, though, this week are twofold. And both of these did appear on laughingplace.com because we've heard. The first that we'll talk about is Star Tours 2.0.
2.0.
We've heard, not to be redundant, that it's been given an actual go. I mean, it's been rumored for quite a while. I remember Anthony Daniels said something at Star Wars Weekends a while ago that he was working on it.
Not this past one, but the one in 2007.
Yeah, I mean, a while ago.
And then... some visual effects dude.
Right. I remember
mentioned that.
Mm-hmm.
as well.
So, according to our sources, we do have some, believe it or not. this is actually underway. It's a go. It's greenlit. Yada, yada, yada. Star Tours 2.0 is coming. So, Captain, what do you think?
I'm quite looking forward to it, you know.
Now, keep in mind, the original Star Tours has only been going for 22 years. Are you sure it's actually time for an update?
I think now that you have
the correction, 21 years.
See, now that George Lucas has completed his series, you know, I think it's about time they kind of reflected some of the new stuff that he added in. Just to be consistent with the flow of the series, I think.
What do you envision for Star Tours 2.0? By the way, I'm not sure where this 2.0 comes from. That's what was told to us, and that's kind of the name going around. That just sounds kind of funny.
It's funny, but that's,
I don't think that would be the actual name of the attraction, though.
That's the story. I mean, that's the name we've heard on this project since, like, the 90s when they were working on DCA and everything. We heard, you know, about Star Tours 2.0.
What would you call it if they like, have the same attraction and replaced it with the same attraction, kind of, except new?
Revision B.
Yeah.
It's like 2.0.
You could just call it, like, Star Tours Destination.
I think that's the problem,
that they don't want to give any more, but this is a way of the buzz without the without too much information. Do you guys, I mean, is your expectation pretty much the same attraction, you know, the same experience, but with a different destination?
I envision it being the same premise, just
you're
different,
on a flight,
different things.
Something bad happens.
I expect that Rex is probably going to be given the boot. I'd imagine replaced with. I don't necessarily know if they'd still go with the kind of clumsy pilot shtick or not, but I think it'll be the kind of same general gist.
I expect them to keep the same ride vehicle because, I mean, that's, you know, expensive.
Yeah.
But other than that, I expect quite a few changes. If this had happened in 1992, then maybe you could just switch out the film, maybe switch out your pilot. But because it's been so long, I think they're going to do something much grander than that, so much grander than just a new film and a new pilot. What?
So,
I don't know.
But. So would you, given that, what's your anticipated closure? I mean, as far as, like, how long do you think the attraction will have to be down in order for this transformation to take place? Because if it was a simple film and programming, you know, that doesn't seem like that would take all that long.
Right.
But
right.
If you're redoing the queue or whatnot, that's going to take a lot longer.
You know, I figure this is the kind of thing that, well, I mean, what's going on with Small World? I mean, I know it's getting a major refurb as well, but, you know, Star Tours may need that too for all I know. I expect this to be like something that takes
nine months
or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that's what you're
expecting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Do you think that it will be based on, it'll have the flavor of the more modern trilogy or the flavor of the... Because to me, the current Star Tours has the flavor of the classic trilogy, the flavor of A New Hope, Empire Strikes Back, Return of the Jedi. Do you think that this one will take on more the flavor of the modern... Okay, stop giggling over my use of flavor of the modern trilogy.
I think...
Clone Wars, that kind of thing.
I think what they'll do is it'll take place after all of it, so it'll have kind of like a classic trilogy, but being the fact that they'll be using CGI and other kind of things like that, I think it'll be kind of a blend of both.
See, I'd like it to be a more dangerous concept where it's almost like the Jedi are trying to protect us for the oncoming onslaught of the Empire, and so we're, you know, in essence kind of being refugees and getting into the shuttle so that we can possibly escape the Empire, and so more of a kind of a danger thrill ride dark feel, as opposed to, hey, tourists, let's go to another planet.
Interesting.
I like that. I know what I don't want. I don't want it animated.
You don't want Clone Wars, the movie?
If this is heavily, heavily animated, I mean, if it's like, you know, Jar Jar Binks 3D, but trying to make it look real, I can live with that.
Right. But you don't want cartoon
animated film.
Well, I can't imagine that's how they'd go
with.
That
would be difficult.
Unless they were theming it to the Clone Wars movie.
Stranger Things.
Do you anticipate any kind of interactivity being worked into the cabin? That's the other thing I was wondering.
That's what I mean, that would be interesting. I'm not exactly sure how they'd go about doing it, but it'd be kind of cool, you know, it's like, you know, firing the lasers at the oncoming ships and things.
Yeah, they could, like Mission Space, you get assigned to have a certain job.
Right, although with Mission Space, you don't really do anything.
Imagine if you had, like, a little screen that popped down in front of you that was supposedly controlling whatever. You know how when Han Solo jumps down into the little turret underneath the Millennium Falcon?
There's, like, that little, like, vector graphic screen.
Yeah, it'd be like if you had one of those in front of you, so, like, the cabin has, like, all these guns on it that so you're responsible for making sure that nobody attacks from that side. So sometimes maybe you shake more if people are really bad shots as opposed to when they're really good shots.
It would be interesting to see if they want that way. That would be cool.
You know,
I don't know if they could anymore because it seems kind of violent.
Right.
I've got an idea.
It seems like fun.
Yeah.
You know how you can, like, play Mission Space at home or even, like, I think in California Buzz Lightyear, you can actually interact with the vehicle.
Right.
Take that a step further. Kennedy now has an experience that's very similar to Star Tours with a big vehicle.
Not sure I like
and now
where
you've
this
got Star Tours, sync them up. You head to space and you battle it out with Kennedy Space Center space shuttle.
that's a sad thing.
I like that idea. Write that down.
Do you think that with 2.0, do you think they will be replacing the vehicles? With the same, just upgraded? Because in my opinion, if I ride Wild Arctic or anything else, you could tell that Star Tours is kind of clunky in comparison. Do you think they'll make it more extreme?
I think if they actually went as far as replacing the vehicles, they'd have to do Star Tours 3.0. Because that's too big a change for one major number.
They'd have to rename it. Yeah. Star Tours Vista.
No, but if it was the same, same shape and size and everything, just the mechanics work better.
Honestly, I would guess the determining factor on that would be what kind of shape they're in. They're not going to do. I don't think they would do that just for the sake of making a better attraction. But if after 22 years these things don't work the way they should anymore,
right,
then it would be time to.
If they're unable to accomplish what they wish to, I would agree.
Did Back to the Future to Simpsons? I don't think they actually changed the base, right? They just changed
Simpsons,
the look of it.
They just slapped on a sticker.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah.
I don't know though. It was a much more fluid ride, but maybe the programming end of it improved as opposed to the actual mechanics.
It also could just be some refurbishment. You know,
that's
you
true.
Take it down for a year and do some work, and
right. See, that's the one thing though, is that now that Universal, they're gonna have the Harry Potter thing, which may be debatedly a kind of simulator-like experience.
Mm-hmm.
Disney, in this case, might be pulling out, Star Wars 2 as a kind of competitive
thing.
Oh,
that's a very good point, which means that they would want to pour a bit more money in.
Right.
You're right.
With Harry Potter coming.
Make the best park in Disney World even better.
Yeah. There's a rumor right now that the people who are part owners of Universal are actually interested in the Busch properties, the entertainment properties like SeaWorld. It'd be interesting to see if that comes to fruition or not.
So the other rumor we talked about this week, and I will read this one more or less verbatim.
Straight off the page.
Hey, check this out. We have heard that Disney has applied for various government permits for the second Soarin' movie, tentatively a global theme, and that shooting could begin as early as this fall for a late 2009 premiere at Disney's California Adventure and Epcot. Currently no plans to build the attraction at either Tokyo or Disneyland Resort Paris. So, a new Soarin' film, not 22 years later, strangely enough, and a global theme
for both parks. That's the thing that gets me. I can understand it for Epcot, being that, California Adventure is still, I guess that tells you what's happening in California Adventure, I suppose.
Well, it's not a Pixar theme.
So.
Well.
Yeah, it could be a global.
The global tour with Buzz Lightyear.
Yeah, you don't know.
Adding characters to Soarin', unless it's a hidden Mickey on a golf ball, is worse than characters in Small World.
Tinkerbell's in it, though.
Yeah, but she's kind of, don't you have to admit, she kind of seemed shockingly out of place almost.
Well, yes, but, yeah.
And I don't think it's only because the animation is not that impressive.
Yeah, it doesn't look very good. It's just kind of random.
There are also a lot of characters in it at the end when they fly over Disneyland.
But you can't, those are really tough to see.
And they're walk-arounds, though.
Yeah.
Those are real. Those aren't animated.
Well, yeah.
You're
you can't
at Disneyland,
help it if Mickey
yeah.
was actually out on the parade route right. that night. What are you supposed to do? Hey, Mickey, go hide. That'd be rude.
No, but if it was Mickey Mouse, climbing, Mount Rushmore or something, that might be going over the top.
I wonder.
Or falling off.
That one guy. That'd be awesome if they had like Goofy, like
So, Captain.
Oh,
yes.
Given what you know about the major changes happening at Disney's California Adventure, or at least that's what it's called today, do you think it's a good idea to put a new film there that's not California-themed?
I think it's the only way to go about it, being that the park is pretty much changing entirely.
Let me ask you a second question. Aside from the fact that the park is changing entirely, DCA's been up and what, for 7 years? Say this takes 2 years to do. Do you think that's time for a new film, or do you think the Soarin' film can, has another 10 years in it?
I think it does, but at the same time, I'm always open for a change of scenery. Because think of it this way. I've never had a person come out of Soarin' and it's like, it's all California,
Right.
I mean, it's just, it's fits, perfectly with what I was trying to do.
This is one of those things where it's interesting.
It's not dated or anything.
Yeah, it's interesting that Disney is choosing to upgrade this attraction. Assuming it's true of all the attractions out there, including some much older than this, why putting the effort into Soarin', which is an attraction that's still wildly successful here at Epcot, and, you know, by DCA standards, still very successful out in California. It seems like a interesting choice.
I think it has to do with the transformation of California Adventure.
That's the driving factor?
Yeah, I really do. I think it'll be part of, I suspect it would be kind of a marquee, major hook to, you know, hang your hat on, as it were.
Right.
I mean,
not to mention it would help with Epcot.
Since you're going to do it, you might as well go ahead and bring it here as well.
Mm-hmm. But because right here, it's kind of funny. It's like Soarin' over California. It's like, why specifically California?
No, it's just Soarin'.
The interesting thing to me, though, is what does it mean as far as when you look at what's happening to California Adventure and the transformation? One of the areas that seemed to be kind of, you didn't really hear a lot about, mm-hmm. was the
Condor Flats, Grizzly
River Run area. Mm-hmm. And now to hear that a global film is going into Soarin' over California, it kind of makes you, you know, it makes you wonder, okay, so what's going to be the new vision for that area?
Disney's Land of Randomness.
Wow, it's amazing that we're watching a park completely change. I mean, it's admitting that we made a mistake and we are completely changing what this park is right before our eyes. That's pretty exciting.
It's a weird thought that the next time a lot of guests make their way back to California, that one of those two parks is going to be radically different mm-hmm. than the last time they were there. And that's just, you can't really think of that. Usually, you know, the Disney parks, there's a continuity to them.
Sure.
You go and there's so many very familiar things.
That's a part of its appeal, too, continuity.
Mm-hmm. And so it's a very interesting thought to have this one park where when you and I talk to our kids about, you know, Disney's California Adventure someday, it'll be a very different place than when we first went there. When they look at pictures of us there, you know, it's going to be, where's that? So
that was the soap opera bistro.
Exactly. I mean, and it's funny. It's already we sit around and play this silly little do you remember when game, you know, and list through the 25, 30, probably even more by now, things we used to do at DCA that, you know, are already in Yesterland. I think you could have a DCA Yesterland, site. Mm-hmm. I know Werner has the Yesterland with all that stuff, but it'd be interesting to see a comparative list of the things that have closed at Disneyland and the things that have closed at DCA, given the difference in history.
That brings to mind. Oh, go ahead.
I mean, I just find it funny. It's interesting the direction they're kind of going with it. I've yet to quite understand what they're doing still.
I agree.
With it. It just seems like here's Little Mermaid and here's Pixar people and here's Soarin' over someplace. It's like, what does this all mean? I don't understand.
I seriously wonder if we're going to get characters or not. And there hasn't been anything to indicate that we will, other than recent the announcement of Small World having characters, the fact that they mm-hmm. brought characters to Grand Fiesta Tour.
You know what seems weird to me? Not just characters, but the thought that Soarin' would have a story. I mean, Soarin' to me is a travelogue.
Oh, yeah.
You're just
right.
flying over stuff. There's no smooth transition.
No, not
it's
at all.
It's just a sight to behold, but there's no story in it.
What about do you think narration might just go into it?
It could.
No, I'm just wondering. Do you think that's just completely out of the question?
I would not be at all surprised if Soarin' gets narration, a typical story.
I know when Soarin' first opened, there were some longtime Imagineers and, you know, those who have been around for a long time who criticized some of the things we're talking about, the mm-hmm. fact that the transitions are rough, the fact that there isn't really a true story to the experience once you're, you know, in the film. And I don't know, for me, I guess it's kind of what was appealing. It was just so different than anything else, and it was an experience that I enjoyed. And
it was
bother me that there weren't transitions. I didn't feel like I got lost because of it. But other people did. So it'll be interesting to see which vision is carried forward. Mm-hmm. If it's the revision or if it's okay, same dynamic, just different content, you know.
All right, yeah, Circle Vision is the perfect analogy.
You know what they should really do? They should make it in 3D.
Now that I got no objection
to. Dude,
that would
talking
be
about sickness, though. I'm
That's
sorry.
An awesome thought.
Oh,
that would be
man.
Really cool.
Where you put on headphones and binaural sound?
No.
Let a guy cut your hair as you fly over there.
You must live. And then they'll tumble down.
See, if it was same, that golf ball part, that would be like, whoa.
Whoa.
I think binaural sound could be awesome in that attraction with 3D. That could be incredibly
immersive. Though, what would you do, though? You know, the birds are flying toward your head or something.
Maybe like the first 3D binaural sound circle vision.
Okay, but I'm going to admit there's two flaws with both of these ideas, and that is you're 40 feet up in the air.
Yeah.
There's going to be so many glasses at the bottom of that screen.
Good point.
People are going to be chucking headphones. unless it's like Stitch's Great Escape or something, and there's like... That might be
kind of... headgear comes down over your face.
That'd be kind of weird, though.
Oh, wow. So many possibilities, and it all goes back to an Erector set.
Yep, it does. Hopefully they'll bring that out again so we can all take a look at the Erector set again.
So we'd love to hear your opinion on either or both of these rumors because, you know, that's why we're here. 866-789-4008, podcastlabquiz.com.
Where would you want to go? You're going around the world. So where, you know, that'd be something we could hear from the listeners.
I'd like to go to the Grand Canyon.
Oh, okay.
I've never been.
Okay.
That'd be kind of cool, though. You know, kind of swoop through the Grand Canyon.
It'd be awesome. Swooping through Manhattan. Like high speed, swoop in between
like
buildings.
Like between buildings. Like
I have a hard time seeing those permits getting accepted.
That'd be awesome.
But the thought of it is amazing.
That would be very cool. You know what? Nowadays, though, with people seeing the type of money that tourism and everything, and it in essence becomes a free ad for your city.
I have an idea. Soaring over Norway. Like in the Norway Pavilion.
Well, then people would want to get out.
You think that would happen there, too? Probably so.
That's
good, though. We'd love to hear. Where would you like to soar over? Mm-hmm. Soaring over Star Tours. Maybe that's why these two rumors came out at the same time. They're actually combining attractions.
You're going to soar over the moon.
Yeah. Endor, is that a moon or a planet?
It's the moon of Endor.
The planet moon of Endor.
That still makes me mad, but we're not going there.
Endor and the Endor moon.
So I have a question for you, too, without Fanboy being here.
Okay.
Because, you know, Fanboy would laugh at this question. You two have experienced more of Disney's, let's say, over the past 20 years, their film history, their park history, than just about anyone I know. I mean, you guys were immersed in this, Rebecca, in your childhood, and Captain, in your travels. You guys were immersed in this to a great extent.
Okay.
So I want to know from each of you.
Oh, the pressure.
One or two things.
Ask me the question already.
That people like me who just know the big stuff and aren't into this in the way you guys were, what did we miss? Tell me something from the past 20 years that I need to go out and experience, whether it's an attraction I haven't given just due or a 70s movie that, you know, I need to go DVD right now. Tell the people what they've missed in the little Disney that you guys are recommending.
Wow, that seemed the impossible, I think.
The hard part is that so much of it was built around family for me. So it's hard to say you should go see this movie because, I mean...
Well, they can go see it with your family.
that's the thing. You have to see it with my family. Because so much of it... my parents made a concerted effort to create a family culture using Disney entertainment. And so, I mean, ridiculous quotes from various Disney movies pop up at the most inopportune moments in my family when, you know, some... Like, for example... you trip or something and you lose your balance, my father will pull out the line from Million Dollar Duck, you know, take my hand, you know, in that very dramatic Dean Jones moment as the set is about to fall off. I mean, it's ridiculous. But, you know, this is what happens in my family. Or we have a picnic and somebody bites and, oh, great, kosher pickle from Boatniks.
When the geisha
girl is, you know, realizes that they have all this money and she wants it. She buys it to a bunch. Oh, great kosher pickle. And they realize that she could speak English and they didn't know this before. But neither of these are gems. So I wouldn't exactly say, you know, oh, yes, you must see those. But for me and my family, it was great. So I guess for me, it's the fact of I think Disney is about togetherness and about doing it with other people. And that's why I love Laughing Place. I love the fact that the internet's out there because I think some people who maybe were kind of isolated in their Disney fandom are able to connect with other people. Because I think that's what makes the Disney products also special, the theme parks, the movies, or whatever. Because I think they're meant to be enjoyed in groups. And so that's so there you go. That's me.
That's a good answer.
That makes sense to me.
Same with music. Music's the same thing.
I really can't top that answer.
It's not a great song, but when the birthday rolls around, you know, you want to sing happy birthday, happy birthday, you know. And it's, like I say, it's not the greatest ditty in the world, but come on, it makes you smile.
So when you say you grew up in the Disney culture, I mean, I know you just talked about it a little bit, but can you just give me a little more?
A little more? What do you want to know?
Well, I mean, you saw a lot of Disney movies.
Only Disney movies. I never went to the movies except for Disney movies when I was growing up until I was about 10. And then I finally got to see, I didn't see Star Wars the first time around. I saw it the second time around because my parents thought I was too young the first time around. I mean, and I'm not talking 20 years later. They re-released it just before Empire. So like in the 80s,
right.
Just before Empire came out, they re-released it. So, you know, I think I was, you know, 9 or 10 instead of 5 when it first came out. That kind of thing. And, I mean, seriously, other than we went to the movies probably two times a year.
Did you have, like, Disney records?
Oh, yeah. Oh, totally. I had the Country Bear Jamboree record that I would play so much that I could recite the entire show. In fact, I performed it once for this poor security guard who was stuck out on Tom Sawyer Island, and he had pity on me and was talking to me, and I told him I could recite it, and he didn't believe me. So I started reciting it. I think I made it halfway through the show. So, you know, it was cool. And then I was like, are you done? You know, I felt bad for him. But he seemed to be getting a kick out of it. What else was he going to do? He's walking around Tom Sawyer Island. But, yeah, so.
And then I seem to remember something about, what is it, Tinkerbell with Shimmy or something was like an indication to you to turn the page? Is that?
Oh, the like on those storybook CDs, the bring sound, like this.
Probably wasn't CDs for her.
Like there, yes. Yeah.
When you hear that, even to this day, do you want to?
I want to turn the page. Mm-hmm. Well, when you and I were dating, and you had this little golden book, I couldn't believe you had it. It was Cinderella. Well, that was the first book I learned how to read. Although I didn't really learn how to read it, I was 3 years old, and I had my dad read it to me so often that I could recite it and turn the pages at the right time. So I would convince other people that at the age of 3 I was reading because. You can't go to the ball, they jeered. You don't even have a gown to wear. I mean, I still know it. And my dad will say that, by the way. If I started to, when I was little, if something went wrong or I started to kind of pout or something, he'd throw lines at me like that. You can't go to the, you know, kind of mocking me in a fun way. And it'd make me laugh. I mean, so it was just, I don't know. I don't know how to explain it. It's weird.
It is weird, which is why I'm bringing it up, because I find it fascinating. I mean, someone like Fanboy, I know his Disney history, and there's just something... He grew up on Disney Channel, and you know, Disney Afternoon, and all that. But there's something different about. It's almost like for him, Disney was his entertainment, and which obviously morphed into his obsession.
Right.
Whereas for you, Disney, it was almost like you. It was your culture. It's what you were.
Yeah, it was. It was your culture. Be a net. Those little proverbs that Jimmy Dodd would recite. Yes, they were good life lessons. You learned how to spell encyclopedia thanks to Jiminy Cricket. E-N-C-Y-C-L-O-P-E-D-I-A. You know, that kind of stuff. But I don't want people to get the wrong idea. I mean, I had an amazing education, you know, and we did a lot of very... we grew up in Southern California, so we went to the art museums and the galleries, and I had the opportunity to speak with lots of... Because my dad was a university professor, I had the opportunity to speak with lots of historians, you know, Civil War historians and senators, and I met Maria von Trapp. And, I mean, so I've had a very eclectic background anyway, so in some ways it kind of was an interesting balance because I had all that culture,
right.
And then I also had the Disney life. And I was totally known as the Disney kid. I mean, anytime anything Disney happened... Everybody in my school would make sure I knew about it, or if they had something Disney they didn't want, I'd get it, or whatnot. I mean, I was known for that, and people knew that I didn't really watch any... I mean, my family was one of the first to get cable in our neighborhood because of the Disney Channel. My dad and mom wanted us to have the Disney Channel, but like I say, to them it was very important to kind of... I don't want to say protect because it sounds like... They wanted to shelter you, but it wasn't that. It was like they see a value to protecting the innocence of children.
Preserving your innocence, sure.
And so that's what they used Disney to do. They used it to kind of protect our innocence, to let us be children. And I was really allowed to be a child until, you know, the appropriate time, and then I stopped being a child. And now I enjoy it for a totally different reason than I did when I was little. And I mean, and I hope to kind of do that someday with my own kids when that rolls around, because I think I really benefited from it. Because I had the hard school day, 8 to 4, you know, choir, gym, tap class, all kinds of, you know, extracurricular activities. But then in the evening, you know, I played. And we used to go to the theme park a lot because it was inexpensive when I was little. And you could get in for a little bit of money and then pay for attractions. And I wasn't a big thrill ride person. I liked, you know, I enjoyed going on adventure through inner space, which was free. And stuff like that, or just walking around enjoying the entertainment and whatnot. So, you know, we would go often. And then when they started offering annual passes, we got those. So, I don't know. I feel like poor Captain's not saying anything.
Do you have anything to add, Captain?
I really don't have much to say.
I know that Captain likes to kind of maintain that mysterious, you know, past. Yes. So I understand why he's.
I could say this though, with Disney, I consider myself a kind of wannabe artsy type to a certain degree. And you see, you may not know this, but that's the secret to understanding the Captain. And it's just Disney is such an art form, and it's, you know, the theme parks, it's like a riding an attraction is like stepping into a painting. So I like exploring those kind of avenues of emotions, as it were. It intrigues me. And so you could say my Disney history comes from the fact that I like just experiencing a variety of things like that.
Very interesting.
It is very interesting.
Awesome.
And there's so many variety. You've got the films, you've got the theme parks, and it's just the whole, if you take it as a, you know, it's just all very different. So.
And the funny thing is, if you look at my family as a whole, mom, dad, brothers, sisters, the whole nine yards, as it were, you'll see that each one of us, Disney is in some ways the same thing, but yet as far as where our passions have taken us, it's very different. You were to, you know, hear what Disney thing do you want to do, you know, person A, person B, they'd be very different. And yet they would all be Disney. And that's really a cool thing about the company.
Yeah, that's a testament to Disney. Awesome. Let's get this voicemail.
And by the way, I meant audio cassettes for the storybooks, not CDs.
Hey, Laughing Place. This is Jeff Roney from JRDOnline.com. And I heard your show, and I had something to bring up that I'd like for you guys to weigh in on. So, anyway, I've seen the Nemo ride at Epcot, and I've seen the Nemo ride in Disneyland. Kind of similar with the projection on the thing. But when I saw the Midway Madness, whatever that name is, there's like two or three different names. It's a Midway thing at DCA. I'm seeing that the rides now are converting from actual scenes and sets to just screens. And I wondered what you thought of. Is that a good thing? Is it a bad thing? Can they actually do more rides now and maybe do a Ratatouille ride or the next, have a quicker turnover in rides? Anyway, let me know what you think. Again, this is Jeff Roney, and we'll talk to you guys later. See you. Bye.
Well, I'm going to be blunt, and I say it's a horrible idea. I'm just going to get that out of the way.
Oh, see, I'm not a big fan of the whole, you know, everything be a screen phenomenon. However, the idea of there being maybe one or two attractions in each theme park that are screen-based that change frequently as new movies come out, now that is highly appealing to me.
And that has yet to occur.
that's the thing. Yeah.
That's the thing you mentioned, Jeff. The thought of what Rebecca just said, if that's what film attractions meant, absolutely. Let's have a fair mixture of them and take advantage of that. But thus far, what we've seen is film attractions like Star Tours, 21 years. I can't think of...
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Are there any film attractions, as of right now, that at some point had a major update to their film? Not a whole changing out, like, say, Magic Journeys Captain EO to Honey or whatever.
Right.
But, I mean, just updated the film but kept the same basic premise. I can't think of any.
Well, I mean, other than your Circle Vision films like China and Canada. Sure. And Canada, it just happened recently. So what we're talking 20-something years right. till Canada got a new film.
And America did, but it had it also changed its technology at the same time.
Rio del Tiempo.
It's not a film...
It's a film attraction.
It's a film-based attraction, in all honesty.
Without the screens, there's nothing to it, mostly. Well, see, that's the thing. See, Star Wars, although it's Star Wars. See, I say the same mistake way too many people do. Star Tours, with a T, O-U-R-S. You can't do it without a screen.
Spelling with Captain Jack.
That's the thing. You can't do it without... You can't expect WDI to create a life-size Death Star for you to fly through. But when you say Midway Mania,
you could expect back in Walt's day.
Back in Walt's day. But with Midway Mania, you could expect practical shooting targets. You know, that's the thing with me. When I don't mind screens as much when it's your only option to achieve things, but it seems more of a trend to just, well, this is easier to do this way.
So, like the example he gave of the Finding Nemo attraction at Epcot, that's something that you think is a disappointment that they've gone the screen route.
Yeah, because without the screens, it's like just a bunch of coral statues and a broken angular fish most of the time.
Don't forget the jellyfish.
And then the finale is just, I mean, you can't do the finale any other way, so that's fine. But when half of your attraction is based off of screens, I think it's just kind of funny, in my opinion.
Yeah. How about you, Rebecca? You feel pretty much...
Yeah, I mean, I'm not... And it's not even a matter of, it seems, you know, I know a lot of people point to it as, oh, it must be a cost-cutting measure. And I don't even know that it is. I mean, I don't, you know, I don't have any idea if they could do a more simplistic but 3D dimensional, would that really be cost-saving over the amazing technology and everything that has to have gone into, you know, Midway Mania. But I know that for me, I like being able to see, you know, dimensional objects. And so to if the parks were to go to primarily... I think that's one of the flaws of Epcot, frankly, is that a lot of the World Showcase experience is so dependent upon film and a flat experience. And when you read some of what Walt talks about as far as movies and as far as, you know, why he went with theme parks, he talks about the fact that, you know, a film is a dimension, you know, it's flat, it's over there. And I know that Disney's done a really good job of bringing you into the film with things like Soarin' and then the 3D effects of Midway Mania. So I know it's transitioning. But there's still just something kind of cold for me, that it just doesn't have that same richness as the other one. Now, Midway Mania, at first I was kind of disappointed that there wasn't more dimension to the transitions. But as I experienced the ride more, I think in some ways it's kind of nice for you to have that downtime. I think it helps to make it maybe more appealing to all the generations. I think perhaps...
That's old people.
Yeah, I think perhaps if you had kind of a busy in-between, that maybe the attraction would be too much, kind of a sensory overload almost. So I think in some ways, because of its fast pace once you're in the game, I think the downtime is okay. Sometimes I find that Buzz Lightyear kind of suffers from the cacophony. And so I think it's nice to have those transitions. But, like I say, I prefer something like, you know, Pinocchio in California, where you, you know, you kind of go through sets and you feel as if you got out of the vehicle and walked out. You know, there was a whole world kind of that you were, you could have
venture around.
People
actually do that in Snow White and they take the apple.
So yeah, but...
Tobacco Road.
But if there was a way that Disney could create an attraction that you knew would change with the release of a new film or whatnot, like the Windows on Main Street used to be,
mm-hmm. That would be cool.
That would be really cool, especially now that so many people... are DVC members, so they're coming more often down here in Florida or in California. I mean, you have your huge annual pass holder base that is constantly in the parks. So to have something that dynamic,
you know,
just seems really appealing.
And a prime example could be, and thus far isn't, something like PhilharMagic, which is an amazing, amazing attraction that takes place in movies. So the thought of updating that as new movies come out, you know, would mm-hmm. be a perfect example of really good use of movie technology, which, you know, thus far hasn't occurred.
Yeah, and you wonder why. You wonder if it's, is it purely just it's not worth the cost per guest, you know, because, I mean, that's what it breaks down to when you're in business. You have, you know, bills to pay, people to pay, payrolls to fill. And you wonder, mm-hmm. is it just a matter of it's not, it you know, it wouldn't generate enough revenue to be worth the added expense versus what the site already generates in revenue.
You know, that would be actually interesting. Picture this. I'm going kind of out on a limb here. Okay, at Hollywood Studios, okay, there's just an attraction, which is like the template attraction, meaning that everything is pretty much you could swap out. So you can, in other words, just promote your movie as a ride for, you know, a little while, then just switch it out. Do you think that would rather than just thinking of it how it would work with marketing, how do you think that would work with guests? You know, they'd come back next year, and it's like, wow, I really like the Chihuahua ride. And well, come back. And
the closest thing they have to that now...
Narnia.
Is Narnia, which at one time highlighted the Haunted Mansion.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember. Was there something in between Haunted Mansion and Narnia?
I think 101 Dalmatians was highlighted, but not in the same spot, okay. But in that area.
And then the original Narnia and the second Narnia. And I must say that, much to my surprise, when I last went to Disney's Hollywood Studios, I mean, the queue there was quite large.
It seems to be well-trafficked.
Yeah. And it certainly hadn't been, you know, prior to the second film coming out. Now, I don't know if the second film meant people were going to go see it anyway or if people wanted to go see the second film there.
Right.
But so, I think
but
it could work.
If it was like a literal ride and not just a walkthrough.
I think that would be...
Well, like a film-based ride?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that would do very well. No, very well enough to justify the cost, I don't know. But
I would love to see that happen. For me, as I think about the idea, I'd love to see that happen over by Drawn to Animation.
Yeah, it would be interesting.
You know, that, take that whole mm-hmm. that footprint, because you don't need as much of it now that it's not really being used. I mean, as mm-hmm. far as mm-hmm. as far as I can tell right. as a guest who doesn't really know anything. And it'd be interesting if when you went to the animation site, if you weren't seeing a movie about Mushu.
Mm-hmm.
Because as much as I love Chris Sanders and all the little, you know, witty repartee of Mushu and the gang, Mulan was a long time ago.
Yes, it was. A long time ago when John Animation was built, though,
and,
too.
And it's not all that beloved.
Right.
I mean, there aren't a lot of girls who have on their list, oh, I've got to see Mulan. I mean, they're happy to see Mulan, but I don't know how many girls that's the first name in that autograph book they've got to get. So it's just interesting, and Mushu as well. I mean, Mushu is not a terribly, terribly beloved character.
Right.
But I know he's quite popular, but not, you know, a Tinkerbell level mm-hmm. icon. So it's an interesting idea that he raises, and I think it'd be fun. I'd like it. I would like it a lot. I would put up with more screens. More screen-based entertainment for that. Especially, you know, it'd be fun. What if you did it with, like, the Great Movie Ride kind of thing, where you had celebrating all Disney films, and then this new, and then there was a section that had.
Right.
Like,
that would be
thing.
Interesting. Yeah, they just swap
so,
out the
So, like,
ending.
There would be a, like, three quarters of it might be the same, but then the last quarter of it would kind of feature whatever was new.
It's like with John Animation, how... Whenever you heard there was a new animated movie coming out, it's like all the annual pass holders would all of a sudden go there because that's the first place where you see that teaser trailer.
Before they started putting those previews online.
Now, the one thing that makes this a little more difficult is, downtime. You know, if it's just a film, theoretically you can swap out a film. But if you're talking like a scene in the Great Movie Ride where you're actually doing a scene.
Oh, no. But I'm okay. Still talking film. Just along the lines of not along the lines of Great Movie Ride as far as whole sets, but as far as the idea of kind of traveling from film to film. So maybe one portion of the ride would be, you know, Disney films of this era, Disney films of that era, and then the final era would be in transition constantly because of, you
right.
know, what goes on. That kind of thing.
Yep.
Or theoretically, you could, you know, like, depending on how high budget the scene was, it could be like a overnight thing, couldn't it?
Nothing's overnight when it comes to changing a scene in an attraction. It just, I don't ask me why, but it just isn't.
Yeah, even
but,
the no,
but if your scene was designed specifically for that purpose, though, I mean, I can understand it if you were, like, tearing out, like, something that was...
No, but even when they did the changeover for American Adventure and they were just kind of adding a segment to Golden Dreams finale.
Right.
It didn't happen overnight, did it?
No.
I think it took a few days.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it didn't. I don't think it took as much as a week. But my memory is that it was down for a few days, and we were like, and then we heard, oh, they're putting in a new.
Yeah, I think there's something to the fact that we're talking about attractions that are running for just hours and hours and hours, day after day after day, as opposed to, you know, a movie where you run 2 hours, three, four times a day and
right.
give it a break.
Well, I also think that anytime you do anything like that, based upon what little I talked a little bit to some of the people who worked on the courtyard there at the animation building in California,
mm-hmm.
and there's a lot that goes on as far as tweaking the cameras and stuff to make sure that they line up just right with those screens
right.
and all that kind of, you know, I don't know what the word I'm looking for is, but you guys know what I'm talking about, right? As far as making sure that it's in there, right?
I don't know the exact word you mean.
But you know what I'm
yeah,
trying.
I know what you're
I'm getting
about.
My point
across. Ratio.
Okay. No,
right,
it's not that
word.
But calibrating.
Oh, there we go.
Calibration. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, just calibrating the projection and the screen, especially there where the scenes kind of almost fit together and whatnot. So you know, I'm sure that comes into play. You can't just simply take film A off and put film A on, or insert
right.
the little SD card or whatever it is that they have film on nowadays.
Do they give the horse a medal for this?
I don't know.
Yes, they do. No,
they should.
Okay, up next is yet another voicemail.
Aloha, Gengis. This is Joel over here in Hawaii of the Meandering Mouse Club TV podcast. And, hey, you were talking about, you know, all the flash pictures in the attractions. And heaven forbid, I actually went to the Universal Studios in Hollywood on my last trip out to Disneyland. And they had the T2 show. And something that I would think would be really cool if they could pull this off and not give the people in the audience a heart attack is that they have those four huge T2 structures or robots there in the room, the two on the left and two on the right. It'd be really cool if during the show somebody started taking the flash pictures or starting on their cell phone, if all of a sudden the show would come to like complete stop and those four robots came alive and took their red little beams and aimed them at the person with the flash picture or the cell phone conversation, and they made a big deal about it and drew attention to that person and you know, said, okay, the next time this happens, you know, you will be terminated or something like that. And, you know, kind of make a point to them about that, because it is annoying, whether it be a cell phone or a flash picture. It's really annoying, and it does ruin the experience for the other people. But that was just a thought that I had, and I thought I'd share it with you guys. I know it's totally off the ball, as I said, having those four large things all of a sudden converge on one person could give them a heart attack. But you know what? Maybe they might learn a lesson out of it, and some other people in the audience, too. So anyway, take care, and aloha.
Aloha. Like
could give them a heart attack, but maybe they'll learn a lesson.
Well, maybe it could be like a plant, you know, just
oh, that's
like
a great
performer
idea.
That's like taking pictures, and they actually like do something to them.
That's a great idea.
Haul them away. So, like that'll be you.
Well, let Universal do it first, though. Well, Disney will not be a trendsetter when it comes to shooting at their guests. But a follower, that's okay.
I think if there should be like shocks in the seats, like you get a little like electric.
You're cruel.
Just enough to get your attention.
I still say the locker system is probably the most logical for just preventing it. Just put everybody's cameras. You just can't take anything on with you on their attraction.
It's funny if you look at old Disney guide maps and stuff. There's like limitations on what you could bring in the park as far as like electronic devices and whatnot. So it's just funny. I just like, can you imagine if they tried to do anything
do
like
that
nowadays?
Yeah.
I mean, I would never want them to get rid of cell phones just because I prefer those. I'm sorry. One of the best things. I know it's annoying to have somebody talk on your cell phone, but it sure beats that boop, boop, that you get with everybody at their two-way radios when that was the big thing. I mean, at least those are slowly disappearing from property. You don't see as many of those when you go to the theme parks anymore because people have cell phones
and,
now.
And then you have to talk all silly when you have one of those, too. It's like, I'm over at Haunted Mansion, Roger Key.
Oh, those are so much fun to listen in on, though. We used to heard some great stuff.
When I used to come to the park as a kid, we had to communicate with our family. We used smoke signals to get the message across.
We would leave messages at guest services at City Hall.
That means you have to call all the way back to City Hall.
There's a little notepad there. You'd leave a message for your mom and dad as to where you were, if you like got delayed or whatever.
That'd be awesome, the post-it note wall someplace in the park.
We wrote a message on the Snow White apple, knowing later on someone would come by and grab it.
Do you remember the guest book that they had at Mr. Lee Kid? You'd go in there. This is really sad. Annual pass holders, we'd go in there, and we'd look through and see who was in the park. Oh, because you knew who, when they showed up at the park, would bother to sign the book. And so you'd find out whether or not your friends were in the park by just looking through the book. Oh, look, John already signed in. Oh, it's about 11. I guess he's over at French Quarter.
So what about, David Manning and Walt Disney? Did they show up at the park?
Walt Disney did not show up at the park.
Walt Disney didn't show up.
His spirit's there. Brent, our good friend Brent, wrote us a couple emails. Now, last week, we finished recording our podcast a day early last week on Wednesday, and I go check my email, and what's sitting there? Email for Brent to read the next day, and he missed the podcast.
Oh, poor Brent.
So I'm thinking, okay, maybe Brent, you know, we'll just let that one ride through, and well, no, he sent a second one.
Take a week off?
He sent a second
one.
Oh,
wow.
Brent, I'm really going to tick you off because I'm only going to read part of each one because I think some of it really should wait for Fanboy to come back. But I will read part of each one.
Won't punish him for taking vacation.
If you dare send in a third one this week, it's pretty much your show next week. So, and that's okay, by the way. And
yeah, we don't mind.
Let us know when you come into town. I do want you to sit in. I meant that.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. So anyway, here's from the previous week.
I agree, and since it's in the house, I have to also agree.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Yeah. See, afterwards, if Rebecca said, "Why did you say that on the air?" I would say, "I didn't. I'll just cut it out."
Yeah. But it's okay.
He writes, a bit of P or C fun. So rumor on the wall, which is the better rumor of all, and which would the coup rather see become a reality? Captain Jack Sparrow, Johnny Depp, as the Mad Hatter in the new Tim Burton's Alice in Wonderland, or as the Riddler in the next Batman movie. Both is not an option. If you had to pick, we know he would go with Burton. But what does if he had to pick, we know he would go with Burton. But what does the LPP want to see more?
I think I'd rather see him as a Riddler.
I'd rather see him as the Mad Hatter because I don't go to see Batman movies. They're too scary.
Wow, Batman is such an amazing movie, and the Joker was so amazing. The only person I can
You've seen that movie three times now,
and I would see it again tomorrow. The only person I can think of who might make a character as memorable as Joker is Johnny Depp. That's a fantastic idea. Have you heard that idea? That
oh, yeah.
Out there?
Mm-hmm.
That's a fantastic idea.
And those movies, I think superhero movies are only as good as their villain is bad. I mean, as far as, you know, evil.
Is that what was wrong with the one where Arnold was Mr. Freeze?
I believe so, yes. Yeah.
There's a lot of things wrong with that one.
But no, I do. I think that when you look at a superhero movie, or even like the classic fairy tales, I think for me that's part of why Enchanted wasn't as terrific as it could have been. For me, the villain fell just a little flat.
But Doobie, was it Arnold Schwarzenegger, the gymnastics coach? It,
that was actually Bella. What's his name? Bella Lugosi? No.
No. Caroli.
Bella Caroli as Mr. Freeze. Yes, and Nadia Comaneci was Catwoman.
And Gary Strug was the Penguin.
And Batman and Robin were those two 13-year-old Chinese gymnasts.
14.
14-year-old. My bad.
But they 16, according to their passports.
Yes. And
it sounds like such sour grapes. I mean, I'm sorry. It just does.
And he writes this week, it does sound like sour grapes, unless it's true.
The only reason, you know what, I thought it was really sour grapes until I read the report that said that one of their passports was dated January 1st, the year it needed to be for, you know, to qualify. And then I thought, that seems a little convenient.
They're really for complaining. I mean, the 14-year-olds are beating us. Does that really sound all that great?
Well, yeah, because 14-year-olds are better. That's why they gave the minimum age.
What people claim is that their lack of maturity leads to a lack of realization of the intensity of the moment and therefore a more relaxed posture, therefore better scores.
Fascinating.
That's some of the argument, but the other argument is just protecting the young people from the.
So instead of performing the Olympics at 14, they'll just be away at camp, away from their parents.
Which, by the way, I think Nadia was about 14.
I don't know.
When she performed.
And look at the gem she's grown up to be.
She has.
Yeah, she has. I think she hasn't had any issues. Oksana Mayul, she had issues.
She's a skater.
By the way,
different sport, different set of issues.
And in this week,
I like Nadia. Don't pick on her.
I like Nadia a lot.
She married Bart Carner.
She defected.
Yep. And
now she can go home whenever she
wants. And
she
married a little Midwest boy. I think he's a Midwest boy.
And in this week's email, Brent writes, in part, the search for the Moly Grail has ended and Craig is the mole.
Captain,
you knew this from week two or three.
Two.
Oh, yeah. You're sick.
How do you do this?
Gut feeling.
That's insane. So not only was I wrong, Brent continues, so not only was I wrong, but you were too, since you thought it was Nicole. Shut up. Mark won, which made me very happy because they really deserved it for his family. That was very good. I also love the fact that Nicole lost, since she really didn't seem into being on the show anymore. Why do you keep saying Nicole? Is her name Omarosa?
No.
The hidden clues were crazy, and I did catch a few during
ridiculous.
The season, but never figured them out 100% to lead me to correct. So now I am 0 for 5 for mole picks on every season, but I still had a blast watching.
Oh, I won 1 year. The model.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I got that one, too.
I got the celebrity mole model.
Mm-hmm.
Brent continues.
Well, which one? Weren't both seasons the model?
I didn't get... Yeah, I don't remember which one it was.
What was one of them? Anyway.
Wasn't the other one Kathy Griffin?
No, it was the model. Oh, wow. I think Kathy won, didn't she?
No, she lost to the
youngin'. She lost to the...
Didn't she lose to the youngin'?
Didn't they make her the mole the second time?
I don't remember.
I thought she like lost the first time.
I think she was just in one season.
It was Corbin who came back. Corbin the madman.
Stupid TV.
Corbin who lost his mind.
Brent
that
continues.
Was awesome.
Save the mole. The producers earlier this season tried to have fans make videos and get people to watch, but it didn't work that well. So now there is a new plan to save the smartest show on TV from being executed. Lost is going away? In honor of Paul and the mascot of this, of this season, along with the letters mole fans are sending sour face lemons to ABC headquarters in New York. One side of the lemon with the sour face on it, and the other side with the word Save the Mole. We are following the example of fans of such shows as Jericho and Friday Night Lights to save this wonderful show, so make sure to do your part and send some lemons in. Speaking of Paul, he is selling shirts and things from the Mole with part of the proceeds going to charity, so make sure to check him out on eBay. His seller name is Grassip. That's G-R-A-S-S-I-P. You also can find him by searching on Boston Rob. So if you want to save the Mole, send your lemons. Brent chose not to give the address to send them to because basically he doesn't want to be blamed for it, but apparently it's freely available out there on this thing called the World Wide Web. So.
Oh, that's cool.
It is cool.
I like that. Although my favorite so far, my favorite mail-in campaign, I really like the one that Peter David mentioned on Jim Hill Media. The Jim Hill Media Save the Adventurers Club idea. And that is a map of where you're from and put on there how far away you live from the Adventurers Club and send it in. And he listed all the head honchos to send it off to. I mean, and everybody realizes that it's not going to save the Adventurers Club probably, you know, in its current location. But maybe it'll help them realize what a gem it was and maybe it'll find a new life somewhere
Adventures
else.
Adventurers Club 2.0.
I was like, that's cool because you can just go to MapQuest and print it up real easy and mail it. It doesn't have to cost you anything. It's just a sheet of paper. So I was like, woohoo.
Yeah, lemons are expensive to mail.
But it's clever because Adventurers Club is like exploration send a map. That's cool.
So when life gives you lemons, you make a mole out of it.
Touche.
Touche.
I love that. I love that show. I hope, you know who I think should pick it up? I think True TV.
Yeah, you mentioned that. I think that's crazy.
I think it should go on True. That's the court. It's the renamed Court TV channel.
That is odd.
What? It's like their new thing is like it's not reality, it's true or something like that. That's like their new slogan.
I think Oxygen. It'd be perfect for Oxygen.
Sleuth.
Sleuth is cool, but they don't show anything.
I don't think they have any original programming.
No.
And this doesn't seem like a terribly low budget show.
Oh.
With all the travel.
Yeah, but it's not like you have to pay anybody.
That's true. But
anyway.
But the prize was $450,000.
Yeah.
You might have to adjust that a little bit.
And how much do each of the lost actors, are they trying to get paid this season?
Well, that's true.
Per episode.
No, that's true. You're right. My mistake. It's a drop in the bucket. What am I thinking?
We're talking network TV.
Only because it's a lot of money to me. I forget.
We're not talking about, you know, what's that old pseudo.com or something. We're talking network TV.
Okay.
Captain,
Hulu,
it's your turn.
That's who can pick it up. Well, maybe Eisner can do it on his little internet station. Veo or whatever.
Isn't it Veo?
Sure.
Yeah.
I'll go with that.
What you got, Captain?
Well, it looks like Utah Josh got the answer right.
Yay, Utah.
Debbie was sick, so the union sent me.
What's that from?
That's from the Muppet Vision pre-show.
The greatest pre-show there ever was.
3D. We need to go film that. Make sure we have a really good copy of it.
Well, we can take two cameras. Put one lens over one camera?
No, not the movie, the pre-show. Make sure we have a really good pre-show video. Because you never know when things could change, and then you'd be all sad. And then you'll tell your nieces and your nephews and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren about the greatest...
Grandchildren? Our child is pregnant?
We don't even have one.
Good point.
You'll tell them all about the... greatest pre-show ever and have no proof.
I can act it out.
That would be better, actually. You fanboy and the captain. here, for your entertainment.
Anyway.
And so, speaking of pre-show, we were talking about Soren.
Flying.
And so the guy is like, welcome to Soren, or welcome to Soren over California. Who's that dude? Welcome to it, Soren.
Oh, see, I always hear it as welcome to Soren.
But the lips keep moving.
It's too funny.
Cool. Well, thank you, Captain. You guys know how to enter. Just go to thelaughingplace.com, go to the discussion boards, click on radio/podcast section, and type in an answer. And if you're the first to do so, you too will get to hear... just like Utah Josh did just now.
Congratulations.
And now it's time. Do you have a theme song for Fanboy this week?
Yeah, but, you know, he didn't show up. So.
I know, but I love the theme song. Oh, I forgot to play the reader mail song, too. Man.
Why are you blaming? That's my job. I forgot how to.
Usually I say.
That's true. Well, you didn't. You know, you kind of just went into. You didn't have a proper intro.
Why don't we play it now? Since we don't have Fanboy anyway.
Here's reader mail song.
Okay. Very cool.
All right. Pretend like you heard that before we read that.
I like those. I like the little email song.
So now it's time for Fanboy's Disney myth, but he ain't here. The myth is that he's here because he's not. So we've reached the point in our show where we all say goodbye, Fanboy.
Goodbye.
Captain, what you got?
Why, Fanboy, you've changed.
Not really. Have you heard him?
Hey, he's not here to defend himself.
I know, it's great. I could pick on him
You're
all
so
I want.
Pick on him all night.
He's going to hear this on the airplane.
He's probably laughing his head off.
Goodbye.
Grab your head.
That's what we should have done. We should have just told Bad Boy stories since he wasn't here.
Remember the... anything?
You know me. I'm a pirate. I got to keep on the down low.
On the QT.
Because, you know, I got a price on my head.
How much?
There's a wanted poster outside. Just take a look at it.
I think maybe I want to buy you. How about you, Rebecca?
Well... It looks like the mystery of the concert tour cancellations has been solved.
Ooh, I'm interested in this.
Yeah, I was reading an article. I think it was the Columbus, Ohio concert was canceled. Well, as you all know, we discovered that they were all canceled after reading about it following the cancellation of the Connecticut concert series. And there was an article of irate parents who were upset because apparently they didn't receive, they didn't feel they received adequate notification that the concert had been canceled. And this article stated that the cancellation of the tour was due to poor ticket sales.
So. Interesting.
That's so we'll see.
That's the reason concerts are usually canceled.
Well, yeah, but it was interesting that it didn't, it hadn't been previously stated as such.
Well, that would explain why that one in wherever it was, New York.
Long Island is still scheduled.
It's still there.
Yep, it's still scheduled, as last I checked.
That's interesting.
But there's lots of fun stuff going on. DisneyGallery.com has been updating their site with a lot of Disneyland resort activities. There's a new painting by Thomas Kincaid, the Painter of Light.
Painter of Light.
He
paints at 187,000 miles per second.
Okay. They released a...
The same power of a 747.
Fanboy would have given a proper laugh to that.
Yeah. They released a painting of his a few years ago based upon Sleeping Beauty Castle, I believe. I think he also did one for Cinderella Castle, but I'm not sure on that one. And now he's doing Snow White Discovering the Cottage.
How'd that get there?
It's really sweet. It's a sweet image. So that's up on DisneyGallery.com now. And lots of other little events getting ready to go. So
Sleeping Beauty on the big screen at the OCAP prior to the DVD
release.
Oh,
I am so jealous. That, and then they also get the Tinkerbell DVD on the big screen at the LCAP, which
that
is
means
fun.
Does that mean it's Oscar eligible?
Does that mean like there's a? They're not just going to put in the DVD and press play, are they?
Yeah, we've seen that. Not at the LCAP, but other
it's places. Like the menu button is stuck.
You know what I wish
they
would
do?
That's
why they have Disney Fast Play.
We talked about this last week after you and Fanboy went to see War Games. What I wish they would
it's
do.
A guy.
Yeah, Bella is on TV with Mary Lou. When they do these events at the El Capitan, I wish they would film them and then present them at select theaters across the nation, like they do these premiere events. Is that what they're called? Premiere events?
Fathom
events. And, I mean, how cool would it be? You could go to your theater, you can see Sleeping Beauty on the big screen, mm-hmm. as well as the roundtable or, you know, panel discussion that these typically feature at the El Capitan. Because not everybody can go to the El Capitan. But I know that there's enough of a base here in Florida in the animation community that could support that right here in Orlando. And I'm sure, you know, in select large cities, New York probably... It would be really neat.
I agree.
And it doesn't seem to me like it would cost a lot more money. You've already got the print for, you know, the event at the El Capitan. Then, you know, you're already doing the event. It's just a matter of, you know, broadcasting. Even if they did it, I wonder if it'd be cheaper to actually produce it and send it out or if it would be cheaper to just broadcast it. like they did. Didn't they do some concerts
that's
or
hard,
sporting events
be,
or whatever?
I mean, you know, the
weird
times.
Yeah, no, that's true. But yeah, it would that would be so cool. I would love it. Because they do those often. I think they're getting ready to do one for Nightmare Before Christmas as well this year again.
This is Halloween. This is Halloween.
So that
it's
sounds
Tim
like
Burton
a cool
what's
DVD
this?
Collection.
What's this? There's something over there. What's this? And now it's over here.
Wow. What a slaughter.
The brilliant lyrics of Doobie Mosley. This is why he has
there's
no Oscars.
There's something over here. What's this? There's something over there.
It's my turn to talk. Number one, I'd like to say thank you to T-Money for your brilliant analysis of the Brett Favre situation on the LastPlace.com discussion board. I just discovered it before we started broadcasting, oh, wow. So I've read most of it, but not all of it. You went in-depth, and I appreciate that.
Oh,
it's
cool.
Nice to have some sports fans out there.
I'm going to check that out.
Number two, WWE.
By the way, I don't think that's going to turn out well for the Jets.
You don't think so?
No. I think
so
Brett's
either.
Old.
It happens when you get old.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to work out well. I'm sad, though, because I was hoping it would work out well for the Jets because Greeny is such a big Jets fan, and I would like to see him actually happy for a change.
It's
although,
tough.
That'd be weird. How would you deal with that? You know, it's like a Cub fan.
He won't be happy.
They're always supposed to be depressed. Yeah, I know, huh?
Week two, New England versus the Jets. It's hard to root for someone in that game.
It is?
Yeah. I hate New England.
And really?
I don't like Brett Favre.
Really?
I never liked Brett Favre, but
oh, I know
especially
that, but
now after all this.
Really?
That's tough.
Huh.
Anyway.
Doesn't matter. We
say?
Won't be seeing that game because we live in the Jacksonville, Miami area.
So, Captain, remember that little orange half ball we used to play with where we'd ask it questions? No, it would ask us questions. We'd give an answer.
20Q, right?
20Q,
yeah.
And it would go, I know what you are thinking. You know?
Yeah.
And it'd weird us out with how good it was.
Yeah, it's amazing. What it is, it's this little device you hold in your hand, and it asks you a bunch of questions that you give, like, yes, no, maybe, probably answers to. And you could be thinking of any object in the world, and based on the questions it asks, mm-hmm. it guesses what you're thinking with an amazing degree of accuracy. And we thought, wouldn't it be cool if they had one of these for Disney?
Yep.
Guess what? They have one of these for Disney, or they soon will. And the way these things work is they get better the more, well, the actual device in your hand I don't think gets better, but the way they create them is they do it online over and over and over again, and it gets better and better, and then once it reaches a point, then they create the actual device. So the one that they're creating for Disney is now online, and they want people to go and play so that it can get better, and then they can release it. So the place you want to go is 20Q.net/Disney. That's 20Q.net/Disney, and play 20Q on the computer. Rebecca, you actually did play it already, right?
Yep, I did. That was fun.
And get this thing good, and it can get released, and it's a lot of fun. This is a
you can name a place, a character.
We have this habit of just buying little cheap things on the spur of the moment.
Yep.
Sometimes they're cool, sometimes they're not. And we were in Walgreens one time and just saw this and picked it up for, I don't know, $10 or something.
Yep.
Wow, that was a good buy. That was a good one.
We've played a lot with
it. Is it bigger than a loaf of bread?
The one that was the most bizarre, and I wrote about this in my blog, the one that was the most bizarre was when the object the person was thinking of was a spouse. They were thinking of spouse.
Uh-huh.
Or they may have been thinking of specific gender, like husband or wife, and the machine guessed spouse.
Amazing.
And it was like, how does it know? That's such a, to me, that's just such a large, you know.
Is that
term.
Bigger than a loaf of bread?
No. It's like, how did it ask you 20 questions in order to narrow it down and know it was spouse?
Wait, isn't it bigger? Can it fit in a microwave or something?
That's
the other
one. Yeah.
I've managed
is
to get my spouse in a microwave.
Loaf of bread.
This one, the one that I played the Disney one online, and they had some issues with the item I put in. Dumbo the Flying Elephant's attraction was what I wanted it to guess, and it apparently got led astray because I had said that when it asked me if it was old, I said yes, whereas based upon its database, I should have said probably.
That's interesting.
There's no such thing as I should have said probably.
No, but I just mean that they said funny. That said that you know, your answers indicated this. My database says that. Perhaps my database needs to be updated or something. It's very cheesy the way it interacts.
And the weird
after.
Thing is when it says that, it sounds just like the computer in War Games.
It didn't say it. It's just on the screen. You have to read it.
Oh, okay.
But yeah.
Remember, you had it for what? Like before we went on the cruise and you were doing cruise ship and I got that.
Yeah. It's fun because with the way that it's operating online right now, you can see it filter through. So, like, after you answer a question, you can see a variety of things, and then you can see. I don't know if it's actually.
Like it almost picked this.
But I don't know if it's actual or if it's just showing random things from its database. You know what I mean? I don't know if it actually was considering that.
Just one of those showy things.
Or if it's just a way of not having a hourglass on the screen. But it was cool. It was fun. I'm gonna play some more. But like they say, the only way it gets better is more people, educated people. Disney educated people play it,
which is why I haven't played it.
And they want to release it. I think they want to release the device in time for. I thought they said Christmas time.
So this falls under everything Disney, like theme park, movie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yeah, narrows. I forget the four choices, but yeah.
So now that you've heard all that, if you want to check it out once again, that's 20q.net/Disney.
Woohoo!
Slash Disney.
They have one right now out that's music. We didn't try that one.
They have a couple, don't they? They have like celebrities or something too.
So it's cool.
Podcast@liveandplace.com, 866-789-4008. Let us know what's on your mind. Give us your ideas for where would you like to go on Soarin' Revision B. And until next week, you're cleared for takeoff.